Book of Acts chapter 4. Am I right? Yeah, Acts chapter 4. Oh, that ain't Acts. Book of Acts. Acts chapter 4, verse 32. Somewhere here. Here it is. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need, and Joses, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. All right, let's have a prayer and then we'll get rolling. Our most kind and gracious Lord, we come to you this evening, and we ask, Lord, that you would open our hearts and minds to your word. Lord, give us discernment. Lord, let us realize how powerful that you are. And we thank you for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I want to cover a couple of things, and I may have to backtrack a little bit. But in verse 32... it says, they believed with one heart and one soul. Really, that one soul meant that they were of the common spirit that all have. In other words, that are saved. If you know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, then you have that in common with other Christians. And really, that's what that meant. They were all in common. They knew it was all about the Lord Jesus Christ. That was the whole purpose of them coming together. Now, I'm going to go back to that here in a few minutes. Now, the common in the Greek meant ordinary. Some were, in other words, they were all common. They were all together there. They none of them was wanting. None of them were doing without. They all brought, they sold their land. They done all of this stuff and they brought it all together. Now, there's been people over the years and say, well, this was a picture of socialism, and it's not. Honestly, what it was they were ordinary people. Some are well-to-do, though. In other words, there were some in the church that was wealthy. There were some in the church that was poor. And there were some in the church of the, I'm not in that class, middle class. I'm listed more in the poor class, poverty class. But they were all there, and it says, but they considered their possessions, whether they were well-to-do or not, they were considering their possessions pretty much just common things and just common goods, and they were easily giving it up. And it's not like a guy walked into the church and just gave everything he had. Barnabas, it says that he sold some property, verse 37, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. He didn't sell everything he had and just bring it in there and throw it in front. In other words, leaders, preachers, pastors, they shouldn't convince their congregation, hey, bring me everything and we'll have and sell it all and the church will take care of it. That's not what was going on. What that was going on is that was laid on their heart that, hey, there was a need here. And they took care of that need. The church really and truly is to help take care of needs. And now you got to be careful with that, especially in this day and time. But I don't know of anybody in this room that's went hungry. And if you were hungry, I can assure you that the Lord has laid it on our heart, one of us's heart, to give you some food. And that's what it's talking about. It's talking about doing that. And some of these people were actually selling stuff and doing that. With that said, there's a, I don't know who it was, but a church down the road that we all go to occasionally and fellowship with, they had somebody pass away and gave them everything they had and took care of their needs. I know some churches in Kentucky and other places that people in Colorado that people have, instead of willing it all to the family, they gave it to the church. And it was used for the church. It was used to pay the church off, and it was used to help them continue to do the Lord's work. And that's kind of where it's pointing to this. And it was done because there were special circumstances at that time. I don't ever want anybody to think that it's a commandment from God that when we get our lives right and we get saved and we come in and get our lives right with Him, that, hey, we got to bring everything we got, sell it, and throw it all in the offering plate. It's not like that. You know, now, if you want to sell your home, if it's paid for, and bring us the money, I ain't going to turn it down. You want to will us a gold mine? Hey, that's fine, too. It needs to be, when we do things like that, it needs to be from our heart. It's just like tithing and giving of offerings. It should be from your heart that you're doing it. It shouldn't be because, well, if I don't, my spouse will get mad at me. Or if I don't, you know, God may tear me up. Well, He might. But nonetheless, it should be from a willing heart that's willing to give. It shouldn't come from because I have to. It ought to be from a willingness. And that's what these people had. And they were of one heart. They were of one soul. They were thinking in the same direction. The whole idea of the church is to tell others about Christ, is to be a light into the world, just like we're giving these baskets to these people. Thanksgiving baskets to about 60 families. And in those baskets will be information on the church. In those baskets will be tracts. We don't know if any of them last year got saved or not. Nobody ever contacted me. I know we got some thank yous. But nonetheless, that's not up to me. That's not up to you. What's up to us is to tell them about the Lord Jesus. In other words, we're to be that light in the world. We're to be the salt. And that's what these guys were doing. Now, verse 33, it says, "And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all." The apostles had great, they had been given a real special power. Peter had the power of healing, raising from the dead. We don't have that now, okay? But I'm not telling you Jesus can't do that. But He ain't going to use me to do it. He may use me to go pray for somebody and I'll leave. And that person may go to the doctor and the doctor say, "Well, I don't know what happened, but you ain't got the problem no more." It's all Jesus, trust me. These faith healers, they're a bunch of garbage. Amen. They're a bunch of deceitful, lying people that are deceiving people really bad. And I'd like to just do away with them, but we can't. I'll let the Lord take care of it. Amen. So they were given great power. And not only that, though, they had been eyewitness of the resurrection. But see, we also have great power because of the resurrection. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." Philippians 3:10. Well, I don't want to go to Philippians 3:10 yet. I want to go back to verse 32. I told you I was going to backtrack a little bit. But I had to bring up the power of God. Jude 3, not one soul meant in verse 32, it really meant of the common spirit. In other words, we're everybody in the entire world that's trusted the Lord Jesus has the same spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. We have that in common. Jude says verse 3, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation." That's what it was talking about. That's what they were talking about. We were all of that common salvation. In other words, at some point in our life, we can recall a time where we honestly, in a prayer, or you could have been sitting in a vehicle, nonetheless, you were telling God that, listen, you know who the Lord Jesus Christ is. You know that He died for your sins, and you ask Him to come into your heart and save you. And if you've never done that, listen, you've got to do that to go to heaven. You've got to do that to be saved. You must place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And once we do that, we shouldn't have a problem telling somebody. That's what the confession is. Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. Well, who are you confessing it to? For one, you're telling God that. But for two, there's people out there that we ought to be telling. Because if we're not telling them, if we're not confessing Jesus, He ain't going to confess us before the Father, before God. He says so. He said, if you're ashamed of me, I'm going to be ashamed of you. So, that's just common salvation. But He also said, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Peter and John had just been chewed out, threatened. Don't you preach in Jesus' name back over in chapter 3. Don't you be going out there and telling people about this Jesus. Don't be preaching about this resurrection. They were contending for the faith. See, we've been putting up with in this country for quite some time similar to that. Similar to the same stuff that they... Don't be preaching the whole Bible. Do you know they really don't want you doing that? They don't. The current administration and the one that could have been had a law in... Actually, I think it's actually in progress. But it is, if I preach the entire Word of God, it's considered a hate crime. I got news for you. I'm going to preach word for word, from the very first word to the very last word. And if they don't like it, that's their problem. They can take it up with God. Don't take it up with me. But you see, what we've did is we've contend for the faith. I'm going to tell you why we got the president we've got. And I'll probably say it again Sunday. It ain't nothing to do with how slick he is. It ain't nothing to do with how sorry another one might be. It's not. It ain't nothing to do with the popular vote. And it was not anything to do with the electoral vote. I am going to explain to you, and this is my honest belief and from my heart, the only reason that he is there is because Christians prayed and said, God, we've got to put a stop to the evil that is in this world and that is being allowed to come into our world. And it's all because we put forth the effort, if my people will turn. I told you last Sunday, I said, Tuesday will tell you whether or not we come up wanting in the balance. I got to tell you. Monday, the Lord gave me a peace. It was like, it's all good. Tuesday night, I sit there on pins and needles and I'm like, do something. Bless their hearts. All of those, any news channel you watch, we just don't understand this. It's called God. It ain't got nothing to do with us, with the popular vote. It's God. God saw that Christian people were praying that they wanted His will. I didn't say praying for a candidate. I said they were praying for His will to be done. Now, we got to accept that His will was done. Because if everything this cabinet that's coming in says they'll do, that's going to change things as far as Christians. That's going to, be honest with you, going to leave us alone. Because it wasn't working on leaving us alone. And it's going to turn things around, is what I have to believe. So, that's what power God has. If all we have to do is turn to Him and say, Lord, help us in the present situation, because honestly, I ain't smart enough to make all the decisions. I told the Lord, you know what? I'd like to see this, but nonetheless, it needs to be your will. Because I don't know what's going to happen next week. I don't know what's going to happen in January, and I don't know what's going to happen 2 years from now. But I can tell you this much, God does. And when we turn to Him, He'll show us His power. And I believe, honestly, with all my heart, that's exactly what happened. And the first church was showing the powers of that day that God's in control. And that's exactly what you just saw last night. God's in control. They had it all planned out. They had it all fixed. This is who's going to... And it blew their mind. They didn't know what to do. The news people were stuttering around and had no idea, because they hadn't planned on it. Including myself, how many of you, honestly, the first day you heard that Donald Trump was going to run for president, would have thought that Tuesday, November 8, 2016, he'd be president? Raise your hand. You knew for a fact he would be. No questions in your mind. No, I didn't either. As far as I was concerned, I'm like, what's he doing? He's a real estate guy. But you know what? If it's true what I've been told, that James Dobson led him to the Lord, supposedly that's what happened. If that's all that took place to him running, it was all worth him running. Amen. Now, if he truly is led to the Lord and he does the things he says, we'll see quite the difference. We'll see. Philippians 3:10, though, this brings out power. I want to tell you what Philippians 3:10 says. It says, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. Without the resurrection, all of what we do here would be useless. Christ could have died on the cross, shed His blood for us, and they put Him in the tomb, and if they'd went and found Him in the tomb, then what we do, in other words, I'll just be up front with you, we're stupid for what we're doing. But there was a resurrection. And there's power in that resurrection. So what's really it all mean for us? Listen, those who are born again, those who are saved, they've trusted the Lord, you can experience the power of God through your relationship with Him, with Christ. We can experience that power. This power is what it takes, is what it makes it possible for us to live moral lives. The only way a Christian can live a moral life is to have that power. And to have that power, we've got to have a relationship. That's why you saw Peter as bold as he was. For Peter to stand up in front of that whole group of the Sanhedrin and the powers that be, as far as he was concerned, this might be it. They may crucify me today. I mean, they had just crucified Jesus not long before that. And it was still fresh on their mind. But he had that power. And that same power can help us live moral lives. But now, to truly live in this power, we've got to die to sins. In other words, just as Christ's resurrection gives us the power to live for Him, His crucifixion marks the death of our old nature. We need to get that in our heads. That when Christ died on the cross, we died on the cross. You see, in other words, we can't know the victory of resurrection power until we personally apply the crucifixion. We need to die to self. That's what it takes. For years, Pastor, I know. Listen, for years and years, I was saved. I got saved in 1984. I trusted the Lord Jesus, Corpus Christi, Texas, October, good grief, 28th. You ain't got to know the day. You don't have to know what time it was. It was probably about 12:15 for me. I don't know. He was a long-winded preacher. Might have been 12:30. I don't remember. I didn't look at my watch. That's when I got saved. But I did not have the victory over the sinful life I had, the sinful lifestyle I had, because I did not have a relationship with Christ. I had not died to self. I had not placed my sins on the cross with Christ. That was the problem I was having. Go with me to Galatians. The book of Galatians. Find Romans. Keep trucking. You'll find 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. You'll find Galatians chapter 2. Many of you may even know this verse. I had it memorized at one time, but it went away. It says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. In other words, personal Savior. He died for you. Now, crucify. I want to break it down just a little bit, though, because there's a part in here that if you're not careful, you'll get it mixed up. Crucified with Christ. Really, Romans 6:11 says it all. He says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. In other words, you die with Him on the cross. Liveth in me. When you get down that part, he says, but Christ liveth in me. In other words, Christ lives in us by His Spirit. He knows everything that you think, that you do. He knows everything. He knows what you're thinking and going to do tomorrow. And when we pray, He hears us. How many of you was praying yesterday and the days before for what took place last night? Everybody but Ryan. Amen. No, I'm picking on him because I can. In other words, I prayed for a long time over the election. Did he hear prayers? Yeah, he did. He hears our prayers. Faith of the Son of God. You mean Jesus got faith? You see what that says? It says, I live by the faith, not my faith, by the faith of the Son of God. In other words, this isn't the faith which I exercise in Christ. It's not that faith. It's His faith, which He lives out through my life, really as I, what's the word I should, appropriate it to my daily walk. In other words, as I allow the Holy Spirit to make me an example, that's how it works. And if I ain't allowing the Holy Spirit to make me an example, then I don't have that victory. Not all of it. I may have some victory over certain things, but not everything. You see, His faith, which lives out through our lives as we appropriate His life through our life by allowing Him. That's what Paul was saying. He said, I died with Christ, but hey, I'm still alive. I'm here. That's me. But it really ain't me because I died. And when I got baptized, that was my funeral. When I got saved, honestly, it's funny to look at it this way. When I got saved, I started my life of eternity, but I also had a funeral. The old man died, the old nature died, and it was buried and risen to walk in newness of life as long as I open up myself to the Lord Jesus Christ and allow Him and build that relationship, then He can live through me. You see, Ephesians, you can kind of compare it, because Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says, not of works lest any man should boast. In other words, my life for Christ is not me doing it, because if it was, I could say, well, I'm holier than you are. Yeah, because I wear a tie on Sunday and some of you don't. And I got a shirt with a fish on my pocket. That makes me holier than you. He said, my works is how I'm... No. He said, for by grace are you saved, and that not of yourself, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's what Christ does through me that makes me righteous. And verse 10 of Ephesians 2, he says, for we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. In other words, when we get saved, there's some changes that come. If there isn't, you need to get saved. But when we get saved, there's some changes that is going to happen in your life. They will happen. There's nothing you can do to stop them from happening. And as we grow in the Lord and grow in our relationship with the Lord, then there's more and more of that that comes alive through Christ in us. And that's what the apostles had over in the book of Acts. Go back with me and we're going to read one little deal and quit. Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4 and verse 32, he says, "And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And great power gave the apostles." They gave witness of the resurrection, and they didn't worry about what everybody thought. They didn't worry about what the powers that be thought. They just preached the gospel. And they told others about the Lord, and they were happy. And it's all because they were allowing the Lord Jesus Christ to work in their lives, and others could see it. And as we study the book of Acts, chapter 5, chapter 5 will get your attention. Great fear fell on everybody around because they could see the power of Christ. I'm going to tell you something. The power we watched yesterday, or I should say early this morning, made me think about a whole lot of things. When you get serious and people get serious and they put it to prayer, he says, "If my people," and God saw that his people, his Christians, his children, were turning to him for help instead of saying, "Well, I'll go cast my vote for so-and-so. Well, I'll cast it for so-and-so." It don't matter. When you turn to him, that's what he wanted to see. He says, "I'll heal your land." And that's what we saw with the power of God last night.